I once walked into the BMG library looking for a certain safer, and I ran into my friend Shmuel Bogart. And after schmoozing for a few minutes, I asked him for a vart from his illustrious grandfather, Rabbi Bressler, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Scranton Yeshiva, and he told me the following fantastic vart. The famous giant Og desperately wanted to marry Avram's wife, Sarah. The Gemara Megillah says that Sarah was one of the most beautiful people who ever lived on earth, and Og desperately wanted to marry her. The pasuk Yud Dalet Yud Gimel, says Vayavo Apalit Vayagid LaAvram HaIvri. Og hears that Avram's nephew Lot was captured, and he decided, here's my chance. He ran with glee to tell Avram that Lot was captured by the mighty kings of those days, and Og thought that Avram would run off to save his nephew, get killed in the process, and Sarah would finally be his. We all know the story. Avram did not get killed, and he successfully extracted Lot from his captives, and Og's whole plan was foiled. So let's take a step back for a second. What in the world was Og thinking with this plan? How crazy did he think Avraham was that he would inject himself into an international war consisting of some of the mightiest, most brutal nations in human history? The modern day equivalent would be one man attempting to save his relative being held captive by the North Korean army in some impenetrable fortress. It's crazy. So what was Og thinking? Why in the world did he think that Avram would actually go ahead and fight to get Lot? The answer, says Rabbi Bressler, lies in the word ha'ivri. This pasuk describing Og's attempt to persuade Avraham to go and save Lot is one of the only times in the entire Torah that Avram is called Avram ha'ivri. Normally he's just called Avram. Here he's called Avram ha'ivri. Why is that? The word ha'ivri literally means he came from the other side of the river, but it's used specifically here to brand Avraham as the one who had the courage to stand up for his beliefs even if all the others were on the other side. The entire world is wrong, he said. Yeah, billions of you all, wrong. He stood firm in his convictions even in the face of sneering and laughing and eye-rolling from others. He believed in it so deeply that no amount of ridicule and scorn could make him change his mind. That was Avram. He discovered monotheism in a world of polytheism and was mocked and laughed at the world over. He was persecuted and abused. He was thrown into fiery furnaces. It made no difference to him. He was firm as a rock. Og knew this about Avram. Og liked this trait very much in Avram. For it meant that when he would hear that his nephew's life was in danger, it made no difference how crazy it would be to help him. Og knew that Avram was a man who did the right thing for only one reason and one reason only, because it's the right thing to do, even if it meant waging a war one on 10,000. Some call it crazy, others call it dedication. Og happily ran to tell Avram ha'ivri, the man of passion and motivation, that his nephew was captured, hoping Avram would die, but he didn't. He survived. Jews throughout history have been called the Hebrews, a derivative of the word ivri. It's because infused in our DNA is the passion and pride that Avram exuded. It doesn't bother us that the world thinks otherwise. It doesn't bother us that we get ridiculed and scorned. We're not deterred by terror and discrimination that no other religion, ethnicity, country, group, nationality has ever gone through besides us. Every now and then, there's some form of calamity, catastrophe, tsunami, earthquake, bombing, etc. And the whole world will send its humanitarian aid, and prime ministers will show up, and the Red Cross will come, and the UN will come. And the Jews also send a delegation. We send Zaka. It's there to help. It's there to bury the dead. But often, what the news outlets don't show you is that weeks later, when all the news outlets are gone, and all the dignitaries are gone, and all the presidents are gone, and all the UN members are gone, and all the Red Cross, and all the humanitarian is gone, you know who's still there in the thick, in the rain, in the sleet, in the snow, in the tsunami, in the earthquake, in the war zone? You know who's still there, looking and pleading and hoping to find another Yid? Zaka! It doesn't make any sense, but they're still there. Because we have roots of pride that go back thousands of years. Avram taught us, stand up for what's right, for it's the right thing to do.